Svadhaya Vakyam Devashir.
Svadhaya Vakyam Devashir.
Harsha Vedena Dasitaha.
Harsha Vedena Dasitaha.
Varta Hartu Adhikrito.
Varta Hartu Adhikrito.
Adam Padam Mahadhanam. Taking with him many learned brahmanas, Brahmanai Kula Vidvaischa. All the elderly personalities of his family, his officers, his ministers, and his immediate friends, he immediately left the city. As he proceeded in this parade, there were auspicious sounds of conch shells, kettle drums, flutes, and the chanting of Vedic mantras to indicate all good fortune. So it sounds like, what's that? There's that word in the Bhagavad, in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, tumulai, right? Tumultuous. A lot of noise. It's symptomatic of a Vedic ceremony. There's lots of noise.
Kirtan, yeah, kirtan, of course.
In this case, what is it? Brahma Ghoshena, the chanting of Vedic mantras. Suniti Surichis Chasya Mahisyo Rukma Bhushite Aruya Sivikam Sarham Uttamena Abhi Jagmatuhu. Both the queens of King Uttanapada, namely Suniti and Suruchi, along with his other son Uttama, appeared in procession. The queens were seated on a palanquin, purport. After the departure of Dhruva Maharaj from the palace, the king was very afflicted. But by the kind words of Saint Narada, he was partially satisfied. He could understand the great fortune of his wife Suniti and the great misfortune of Queen Suruchi. For these facts were certainly very open in the palace. But still, when the news reached the palace that Dhruva Maharaj was returning, his mother Suniti, out of her great compassion and due to being the mother of a great Vaishnava, did not hesitate to take the other wife Suruchi and her son Uttama on the same palanquin. That was the greatness of Queen Suniti, the mother of the great Vaishnava Dhruva Maharaj. Om Mahagana Timhambasya Kanjana Sadaya Chakchuramitam Kanjana Vashmaishishinurayavam Shuchakana Ramisham Kanjana Kutale Let's just read the next verse. Or two, because it doesn't have a purport either. Tam jishtvo bhavanabhyasa ayam tam tadasaratat avaruya vipaspurnam asarja prema vivaraha parirephenugam parirephenugacham durubhyam tirikotkam tamanasvasam visvakshinam grisamsparsa Upon seeing Dhruva Maharaj approaching the neighbouring small forest, King Uttanapada with great haste got down from his chariot. He had been very anxious for a long time to see his son Dhruva, and therefore with great love and affection he went forward to embrace his long lost boy. Breathing very heavily, the king embraced him in both arms, but Dhruva Maharaj was not the same as before. He was completely sanctified by spiritual advancement due to having been touched by the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. reunion with Dhruva Maharaj fulfilled King Uttanapada's long-cherished desire. And for this reason, he smelled Dhruva's head again and again and bathed him with torrents of very cold tears. By nature's way, when a man cries, when one cries in great happiness, you're right there. You fixed it. Oh, good. Could have fooled me. Text number 45. I think this will be the last one. Abhivanya pitu padav ashirbhish chabimantritaha nanama mataro sirshna sakrita satchana grani. And Dhruva Maharaj, the foremost of all nobles, first of all offered his obeisances at the feet of his father and was honoured by his father with various questions. He then bowed his head at the feet of his two mothers. Purport. It may be questioned why Dhruva Maharaj offered his respect not only to his mother but also to his stepmother, due to whose insults he had to leave home. The answer is that after achieving perfection by self-realisation and seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, Dhruva Maharaj was completely freed from all contamination of material desire. Feelings of insult or honour in this material world are never perceived by a devotee. Lord Chaitanya therefore says that one has to be humbler than the grass, and he recommends more tolerant than a tree to execute devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj therefore has in this verse been described as Saj Janagrani, the foremost of noble men. The pure devotee is the noblest of all, and he has no feelings of animosity towards anyone. Duality due to animosity is a creation of this material world. There is no such thing in the spiritual world, which is the absolute reality. Last one. Suruchistam samuttapya padavanatam arbhakam parishvajyaha jiveti bashpakadkadaya gira. Suruchi, the younger mother of Dhruva Maharaj, seeing that the innocent boy had fallen at her feet, immediately picked him up, embracing him with her hands, and with tears of feeling, she blessed him with the words, "My dear boy, long may you live." What's happening here? Dhruva Maharaj is coming home. And his father and his family members are very happy to see him. And because he is sanctified, purified, surcharged with spiritual, well, with Shuddha Bhakti, he's pure-hearted, then any of the misgivings that the family had in that they were instrumental in his leaving home, which was a cause of great distress for the father and for his mother and stepmother. (Clears throat)
because of his purity in heart and his lack of, what is it? Anusuyave, isn't it? Lack of envy or lack of animosity. Because prior to leaving home, Dhruva Maharaj was offended. His father had offended him, his stepmother had offended him, and his mother, Suniti, was embarrassed that she couldn't satisfy the desires of her son, being the lesser of the two queens. So there's a great show of affection for Dhruva Maharaj. One's going to be naturally inclined towards one's children. But in this case, Dhruva Maharaj is special because of his character. Character of a devotee. What is it? That's the next verse. And because she's such a wonderful devotee and has that vision, Prabhupada mentions in the third canto of the Bhagavatam how being able to see everybody equally is a symptom of a pure devotee. Pandita Samadarshanaha. And not differentiating between friends and enemies, but seeing everybody equally, and ultimately seeing Krishna as the upadrashta and the anumanta, the overseer and the permitter. And so, if a person is an enemy, then or a well wisher, the pure devotee sees the activities of each as being guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is it? Ishvaraha sarvabhutanam riddhesha juna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutanam jantra rudhani mayaya. So ultimately he's respectful. Manadena, Amanadena. He offers respects to everyone and not expecting respect for oneself. Although automatically respect will come for such a person. And we see that here. Everybody, the king, his wives, his sons, other family members, the elders, the brahmanas, just everybody is enthusiastically and spontaneously showing affection to Dhruva Maharaj. A, because he's like the long lost son, but that's amplified, or that affection is, that reciprocation is amplified by the fact that Dhruva Maharaj is also a very exalted devotee. And you can see that exalted character in that he shared, he was not inimical to those who previously had been inimical to him. Right? It may be questioned why Dhruva Maharaj offered his respect not only to his mother, but also to his stepmother, due to whose insults he had to leave home. The answer is that after achieving perfection by self-realization and seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, Dhruva Maharaj was completely freed from all contamination of material desire. So what's that? What is that characteristic of? What is in his character? What are we seeing? What are the qualities that we're seeing in Dhruva Maharaj?
Samadarshi.
Yeah. Equal vision. What else?
Humble.
Yeah. Humble. Anybody else? Enthusiastic. How do you get enthusiastic out of that?
He was enthusiastic to go to the forest and perform austerities. And when Nathamani told him, no, he was enthusiastic to...
Okay, but what about his coming back now? He's coming home. How do we get enthusiasm out of that? Enthusiasm out of from the first part. But we're looking at the last part now. He's coming home.
Renounced.
Huh?
Renounced.
Renounced, yeah, renounced.
Compassion.
Yeah, compassion. Forgiveness. Right? This is a very exalted quality of a Vaishnava. Forgiveness. Compassionate. Mind you, compassion can manifest in various ways. Right? But here it's manifest in being magnanimous and showing affection even to those who have in the past been inimical. Right? Prabhupada says here, feelings of insult or honour in this material world are never perceived by a devotee. That's interesting. How many of us have that characteristic? Never perceive honour or dishonour. And yet, Dhruva Maharaj is famous for having been insulted. Huh? He's famous for being insulted. Huh? He went off in a huff. I'm out of here. And of course that's his greatness, because he, despite wanting material benefits from worshipping God, right, he went to the forest to worship Lord Vishnu, to worship God, to get a position greater than his father, or his grandfather, actually. And his grandfather was Lord Brahma, so that meant he wanted to be the king of the universe, basically. The person in charge, so that he wouldn't be insulted again. But in the process of pursuing that goal by worshipping Krishna, ultimately, he became purified. And so, you know, what is it? Akama savakama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena. What is it? Yajate? Can't remember the last line. So, Yajeta Purusham Param, is it? Yeah. So, in the Bhagavatam, it mentions in the second canon of the Bhagavatam that whether you are free from desire or have all desires, you should worship. And it's Tivrena Bhakti Jog. Tivrena means very focused. Focused devotional service. So by focused devotional service, even though he was motivated by material desires, by the performance of bhakti, he became pure. That's why it doesn't matter. Well, it's recommended that we become pure devotees, but it doesn't matter if we're not, because bhakti is more powerful than any material motivation. And Krishna, within the heart, will purify the sincere practitioner, and somebody who practices bhakti with great focus and attention will be purified. And we see that with Dhruva Maharaj here. And that purification will be that he considers any insult or any personal slight as being something insignificant. And the same with honour also. Right? Honour also. Right? The six Goswamis. Tuchavat. The Goswamis of Vrindavan were very elevated. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, highly, highly learned, wealthy, and influential devotees, right? But they gave it up as being insignificant, right? So not only do they consider insults, but also, you know, praise as being insignificant. This is, you know, it goes both ways. And Prabhupada says here, Dhruva Maharaj was completely free from all contamination of material desires. Feelings of insult or honour in this material world are never perceived by a devotee. Although that doesn't mean that we shouldn't respect. Right? There are standards of behaviour, there are etiquettes. Even for ourselves, we may not, but that if somebody is senior, we should honour them. Right? There is, like here, the devotee may not see honour or insult. That doesn't mean honour or insult doesn't matter, I'll just do what I like. Ignore this one, you know, insult that one. The devotee doesn't see. But Krishna sees. The proper respect should be given to the the level of advancement, the seniority, the learning, the experience of, and we should see, you know, these etiquettes are very important. Lord Chaitanya would become very angry if standard etiquettes were breached. So isn't it interesting? For himself, doesn't expect anything. Manadina, amanadina, kirtaniya sadahari. But if people didn't follow the standard etiquettes, Lord Chaitanya would get upset. Right? Because the proper following of etiquette is very important to maintain this culture, society, etiquettes and behaviours. But for the devotees, based on the different levels of devotion, so the Kanishta Adhikari thinks himself the best devotee, and doesn't like to be given advice. In fact, we'll give everybody else advice. And then when given good advice, gets angry. Shoot the messenger. Here the messenger's given a pearl necklace because he brought good news. If he brought bad news, what might have happened to the messenger? Right? Messenger brings bad news. Off with his head. Good news, give him a pearl necklace. So, the advice from Rupa Goswami is that we respect the Kanishta, or the materially motivated devotee, which Dhruva Maharaj was, in one sense, in the beginning. We can see his level of advancement. In 6 months, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We think, well, not we think, we wish, we pray that we could be as elevated so quickly as Dhruva Maharaj. But the Kanishta Adhikari thinks he's the best devotee and doesn't like to take advice and worships the deity, and pretty much it's just described in the Bhagavatam how the focus of the Kanishta is on the deity in the temple or on the spiritual master. There's another. If it's not Krishna, the deity, it's on the guru. And tends to ignore the other devotees. Whereas a Madhyamadhikari makes friends with the devotees and worships together with the other devotees. They worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they make friends with the devotees. So make friends. In making friends with others, realizes at some point that I'm a devotee, yes, and a devotee is the best amongst men. Right? Anybody who chants Hare Krishna is considered to be the best amongst men. But there are some devotees who chant Hare Krishna who don't follow the rules and regulations, or they're still motivated by Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted to worship the Lord, but he wanted that worship was for material purposes, for material benefits. Whereas the real purpose or the real benefit from worshipping the Lord is to realize, to come to the point of self-realization, and that one is dependent, not independent, and that one is empowered by and guided by Krishna within the heart as the super soul, externally in the form of the spiritual master, in the form of the shastra, and also in the form of the devotees. This is how Krishna manifests. You know, the devotees that we met, first of all, they may not have been as powerful or as potent as somebody like Srila Prabhupada, right? But because they delivered Prabhupada's message, there was potency in that message, even though it may have come from a not very advanced devotee, right? But it has potency because ultimately it's the message coming from Krishna. And if it weren't for those devotees, then we wouldn't be here now. So even the neophyte or the most materially motivated devotee is still honoured and respected, just may not be associated with so closely, right? Whereas the Majjhima Bhakta is usually a devotee who's taken initiation, who's a sadhaka, who's following the process of sadhana bhakti strictly, and is at the point of making friends with the devotees. He realizes, actually, I'm not such a good devotee. Not as good as I thought I was. Huh? And that there's benefit in associating with all devotees. Just like and so that Majjhima platform is Prabhupada says we should come from the Kanishtha to the Majjhima platform as quickly as possible. Because on that level then we'll associate with and work cooperatively with the devotees. And value the devotee. So, whereas the Kanishtha tends to think, oh, you know, it's only Krishna or it's me and my guru. And the guru is a pure devotee and everybody should surrender to him. Right? Like me. and often we'll think, you know, my guru is the best. But then disrespect others. The Uttama Adhikari is like Dhruva Maharaj, in the beginning motivated by material inspiration, but because he performed his devotional practices so in such a focused way, he became purified and got the darshan of the Lord, and then as a consequence or as a part of that process he became purified, and so. The Uttama Adhikari is free from that discriminating on the material platform. And in Rupa Goswami says, free from the propensity to criticize others. Kanishtha Adhikari tends to see the faults in others and neglects any of the faults in himself. Right? And you know, there's that Christian saying, what is it? Don't see the might, is it? The little bit, the little faults in others. I've forgotten I can't remember what it's a biblical term, which means like a little splinter in your eye. Don't see the splinter in others when you've got a big log in yours, right? So you know you've got great big faults in yourself, but you can only find little faults in others, and you minimise your faults and make it look like they're very small. Then you magnify the faults of others, right? This is Kanishtha mentality. Whereas the Uttama Adhikari is free from that. He sees everybody equally. He sees Krishna in control. And even if somebody's an enemy, then they see them as Krishna's representative. Ideally, that's what we should see. And if somebody's glorifying us, glorifying the devotee Bhakti Sananda Maharaj says, you know, that person's an enemy. Somebody's always glorifying you. Oh, you're such a wonderful devotee. That's bad. That's the thing. You want to avoid that. Huh? We want to avoid anybody who criticizes us and be around those who say what a wonderful fellow we are. That's what we like. That's dangerous. And if somebody corrects us, we're doing something wrong, and they correct us, oh, you think you are. Huh? Who do you think you are? I'm such a sincere devotee, almost a pure devotee. How dare you offend me? Huh? So we have to be careful about the envy. It's motivated by envy. We should be anasuya without envy. But in a neophyte state, sometimes we'll see that manifest. And when we're being corrected, then we'll get upset. Who do you think you are to correct me? So, a very interesting pastime in the Anchalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sanatana Goswami had gone to Jagannath Puri to associate with Lord Chaitanya, to see Lord Jagannath, to advance his spiritual career, right? As you would. Right? If you got an invitation by Lord Chaitanya to come and associate with him, you'd be very happy, right, to associate. But on his way through the Jarikanda, was it the Jarikanda forest? Through the forest, he drank water that was contaminated, and as a result, it caused eczema on his skin, which burst into weeping sores. Right? So Sanatana Goswami was very unhappy because he felt that he wasn't achieving his spiritual goals of being purified by the association of Lord Chaitanya and by being in Jagannath Puri. Huh? He couldn't enter the temple. He wouldn't walk near the temple because he had these sores, and he didn't want the priests to touch him, because if they touched him, then he'd be contaminated. They'd be contaminated. Cleanliness, in other words. He was very acutely aware of the standards of cleanliness, just as we should be. If we're worshipping the deity, then we should make sure that everything is fastidiously clean. This is Socham is a symptom of a brahmana. It's also the symptom of a devotee. So Sanatana Goswami, and whenever he would visit Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Chaitanya would want to embrace him. And he just, every time Lord Chaitanya would embrace him forcefully, he would stay away, and Lord Chaitanya would say, "Come here." And he'd say, "No." And then Lord Chaitanya would grab him and hug him. Right? And he said, "Oh, no, you know, you've just become contaminated by touching me." Sanatana Goswami is a very deeply humble devotee. Right? So whenever Lord Chaitanya would touch him, he'd touch his sores, and notionally, in Sanatana Goswami's mind, get contaminated by touching him. And so he thought, "Oh no, another offence." So he was becoming deeply depressed because he felt that his spiritual goals weren't being achieved, right? And that he was committing offences. So he spoke with Jagadananda Pandit in the course of trying to work out what he should do. And with Jagadananda Pandit, he had decided that the proper thing for him to do was after the Rath Yatra. Well, prior to that, he decided that he was going to commit suicide underneath the Rath cart. This was his decision. "I'm going to finish this off, and I'll get squashed by the Rath cart. And then I'll go back home, back to Godhead." This was his thinking. Lord Chaitanya could read his mind, and he said, "You better not commit suicide. This body doesn't belong to you. Your body belongs to me. right? And there's many more things that I'm going to do through your body. Right? And he said to Haridas Thakur, he said, what kind of a devotee is this? Right? What kind of devotee is Snatan? You know, he can't look after the property of others. Right? I've given him this body and now he wants to destroy it. So Lord Chaitanya was quite critical. Of Snatan. So again, you know, he was somewhat depressed because Lord Chaitanya was glorifying him, actually. He was upset because Lord Chaitanya was saying, you know, you're a very advanced... Of course, in one sense, he was criticizing him, but in another way, he was praising him and glorifying him. Especially, that's why he would embrace him. And Sanatana Goswami didn't like that at all. So he had a chat with Jagannanda Pandit. And with Jagannanda Pandit, they decided, yes, the right plan is that after the Rath festival, I can't commit suicide, but and I'm not making any progress here, I'm just offending Lord Chaitanya, I will leave and return to Vrindavan because that's the order of Snatan, of Lord Chaitanya, and that's what I'll do after the Rath Yatra. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this from Snatan, and Snatan said, I've consulted with Jagadananda and he thinks it's a good idea, then Lord Chaitanya became extremely angry. And he said, who is this Jagadananda Pandit? He's just a young man, a young boy. He's just a junior. How come you're so much senior than him? Snatan Goswami is, you know, obviously one of the six Goswamis, very exalted personality. And so Lord Chaitanya got really upset. He said, you shouldn't be taking advice. Jagadananda, you shouldn't be giving advice to Lord, to Snatan Goswami. Right? Now, then Snatan got really upset. He got really upset because he said, I can see that you're favouring Jagadananda Pandit over me. Right? You're showing him much more affection by telling him off. You never tell me off like that, so therefore you love him more than me. Right? So Sanatana Goswami got even more upset because he wasn't getting chastised the way the Jagannanda Pandit was. Right? So isn't it interesting the character of Sanatana Goswami? He was being praised by Lord Chaitanya. And he didn't like it. And then when Jagadananda Pandit got told off, he felt, oh, you're just ignoring me. You're showing affection to Jagadananda Pandit. Why don't you tell me off? Right? Like that. So isn't it interesting how Sanatana Goswami considered that when Lord Chaitanya was chastising Jagadananda Pandit, that he was showing him more affection than when he was praising him. Well, usually we want everybody to praise us. And then when somebody tells us off, we get upset. What are you telling me off for? Right? But Sanatana Goswami is saying, how come you're not telling me off? Although he was on occasion. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually being quite firm with Sanatana Goswami. But at the same time, appreciating his good qualities. You know, Sanatana Goswami is described by Lord Chaitanya as being the emblem of the demigods and of being a strict adherent to sadhana and sadhana practices. Very, very, and very humble. He was praising both Sanatan and Haridas. Because Haridas and Sanatan Goswami, both very, very humble devotees who didn't think they were very advanced at all. And so when Lord Chaitanya glorified them for their good qualities, they became very embarrassed. Very, very afflicted by embarrassment that Lord Chaitanya was praising them. So, it's interesting that the symptoms of a very advanced Vaishnava are such that they don't want to be glorified. And they actually don't mind being chastised.
What?
They don't mind being corrected. And that they see from a very different perspective when somebody's praising them, then they feel as if that person is not seeing things from the proper perspective. And when they're being chastised, then they appreciate, they value that. Which is interesting here, because Prabhupada says feelings of insult or honour in this material world are never perceived by a devotee. Right? Yet we saw in a character of Sanatan, when somebody was honouring him, he felt disadvantaged. He felt like it was, you're putting me in a bad position here. And even though he was being somewhat chastised by Lord Chaitanya, he was upset when Lord Chaitanya was firmer and harder and stricter on Jagannanda Pandit. He wanted the correction. The devotee wants the correction, and it is painful, you know, to be criticised and to be chastised is painful. Anybody here like to be chastised? Nobody's putting their hands up. You know, I often ask the devotees, you know, who likes going to school? And I never liked going to school that much. And there's always somebody, two or three people put their hands up. Yeah, I like going to school. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? But anyway, at least here we're all in agreement. Nobody likes to be chastised, corrected. Because, you know, we're all devotees. And Krishna says we're all on the path of perfection, right? So that means we're perfect. Or if we're not perfect, it's only 6 months, like Dhruva Maharaj, and we will be. Right? And so if anybody criticises me or corrects me, then who do they think they are anyway? But actually, you know, there is an etiquette to be followed amongst the devotees. Even though we may not perceive honour and insult. And in fact, you know, in one sense we can see that we're more like Dhruva Maharaj was before he went to the forest. Right? We haven't quite got to the stage of going to the forest yet and seeing Lord Vishnu. Although every day we see the Lord every day. So in that sense we're fortunate. And you know, a neophyte devotee thinks they're advanced when they know all of the prayers, they bow down at the right times, they know how to put the dhoti or the sari on, put the tilak on. You know, we know all of the rules and regulations, basically. But if we happen to make a mistake and somebody chastises us, then we get really upset. Oh, hang on a second, I'm a pure devotee. Or I'm an advanced devotee. But Krishna will make an arrangement. You can be sure Krishna will make an arrangement to show us that we're not so advanced. Right? So, we certainly want to become, what is it here? Sajjana Granahi. Sajjana Agrani, which means the foremost of the most of the nobles. Satjana. Satjana means, what does that mean? It's like Sajjana.
Gentleman,
yes. But sat means of the permanent, right? Jana means a person who's focused on the eternal, on the permanent, on the truth.
Nobleman.
Nobleman, yes. And all devotees are noble men and women, right? That's why we offer Vanchakalpa, Tarubhyas, Chaya, we offer our obeisances to all of the devotees. Because why? Because they're all trying to purify and become make progress in spiritual life. They're the people we want to associate with. So, but at the same time, we're not doing it for honour or for respect. Even though we may be respectable or respected, that's not the reason why we do it. And you can see that in the character of somebody like Dhruva Maharaj, who in the beginning had that motivation, let me be respected. But in the end, he became free from that desire for honour or dishonour even. And so when the chariot came, he didn't mind that his stepmother or his father who'd insulted him and his stepmother who'd insulted him, he had transcended that insult. He saw it as insignificant, and even his desire for material acquisition, he saw that also as insignificant. The mood or the rasa of bhakti, the bhakti rasa, was more satisfying to him. And it is more satisfying to us than any position or any respect or honour. The respect and honour is insignificant. Material respect and honour, material acquisitions are insignificant when one has attained that bhakti rasa or that mood of service to Krishna. There's nothing more satisfying and more pleasing to the devotee than just having that opportunity to render service to Krishna without any motivation. Because without that motivation, then one gets the opportunity to see Krishna in any circumstance, on any occasion. And that's more satisfying. And so in one sense, for the devotee, if he's being or she's being minimized or criticized, that's considered more beneficial than having others praise us. Because there's always the danger in being praised that we'll get a bit full of ourselves, get puffed up. Whereas if somebody's always dressing us down, even it may not be necessarily correct, but if somebody is rather than praise us and glorify us, they're finding fault, then in one sense the devotee embraces that. Like Sanat Goswami said to Lord Chaitanya, you know, you're criticizing him, why do you do that to me? You know, because that's actually beneficial. To be corrected by the spiritual master, be corrected by the devotees, means that we can improve, and that we could take advantage of that correction and use it in our favour to become a more sincere and more honest and more humble devotee. And that's why Dhruva Maharaj is attractive, because the quality, you know, humility, forgiveness in this case, he's forgiving. Those qualities in a devotee, symptoms of Sudas Bhakti, like pure devotion, they're attractive, like anything. Everybody's attracted to that personality, to those characteristics of a person who's engaged in pure devotional service and who tends not to see fault in others but sees the fault in themselves. So if somebody comes along and helps us by giving us, you know, that, what is that saying? Feedback is the breakfast of champions. Right? And it can be painful, but very beneficial if people keep on saying, you're this, you're that, you're the other thing. The tendency for us is to just ignore it. It's a symptom of our pride. But if that appraisal is delivered by the devotees, even though it may be painful if we can hear it, we might have heard it 10 times before, but we actually listen. There's a difference between hearing and listening, right? And then, you know, you realise, oh, well, is that what they've been talking about? I've only been hearing that for the last 5 years. Huh? So maybe I can take that on, that advice on. Whereas Prabhupada says, you know, you give a fool good advice, what does he do? What happens? If you give a fool good advice, they get angry. Right. So we have to learn the art of receiving advice, and keep in mind that not everybody will be expert in delivering advice. So it may come in the form of very bitter medicine. Right? We like to take our medicine with a sugar coating. Right, but sometimes the medicine, you know. And in fact, this is what Sanatana Goswami said. You know, you're feeding me, what is it? Nim, you know what nim is?
Bitter.
He's been praised by Lord Chaitanya. But he says, you are feeding me, and there's another one, Nishandi, is it?
Nishandi.
Huh?
Nishinda.
Yeah, it's another tree of a leaf of a tree that's very bitter. But you know, the good medicine is the bitter medicine. And sometimes, you know, in order to get the medicine, it has to be delivered in the bitterest form, because if it's sweet, we don't think it's going to work. In fact, I've never had a sweet medicine that actually worked. It's always the bitter stuff, you know, that's... So, we want to be the Sajjanagrani, right? We want to be the foremost of noble men. And we want to be equal to happiness and distress, praise, dishonor, whatever. But at the same time, for a devotee, in order to be perfected, in order to make spiritual progress, sometimes we may need some correction. Not sometimes, but quite often. And so, you know, we like it when our guru smiles at us. Jai Guru Maharaj. But when a guru, we get so depressed. Oh no, my life isn't worth it. Right? But actually, it's the other way around. If we're getting corrections, that's good. But if we're getting praised, that's not so good. That's not so good. And if we are getting praised, well, okay, we can take that. But if we're, you know, being chastised, but we get angry, that's not so good. It's like shoot the messenger. The messenger comes along and gives you the message. If you don't like the message, okay, get rid of it. That doesn't deny the truth of the message. You may shoot the messenger, but the message still remains the same. Huh? Doesn't go away. So, this, you know, this character of Dhruva Maharaj is a very wonderful character. That's why he's in the pages of the Bhagavatam, because he started off as an innocent boy, I guess, innocent, but still with material motivations. Right? You know, when we see a little baby, we think, oh, the little baby, oh, how cute. Didn't do anything wrong, right? But, you know, how come he's there in a material body? If he's a baby in a material body, that means he's already got material motivations. That's why he's in a body. You know, sometimes bad things happen to little babies, and we think, oh, why? Well, because he was a nonsense. Huh? We tend to think, oh, innocent. But not innocent. And even the devotees. Devotees are good. And if we're a devotee, that means we are good. Huh? But that doesn't mean we're perfect. So we have to be careful about getting too full of ourselves. And Krishna will arrange it so that we don't. And when he does, it may be painful, but embrace that pain, because actually it's good for you. What's that say? No pain, no gain. So in spiritual bodybuilding, right? No pain, no gain. In fact, that's the character build. That's character building. And you know, if somebody is giving us good advice, and we tend to get angry, we should perhaps hold that tendency to get upset and listen to the message. Don't shoot the messenger. Listen to the message. It'll be painful, but if it's painful, it's good. Huh? It's good for us, actually. And we shouldn't get upset if the delivery of the message isn't quite to our taste, right? And we see that in Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya heard that Jagannanda Pandit was instructing Sanatana Goswami, he got furious. And one of the reasons was, and he says himself, because the etiquette wasn't being followed. There are etiquettes that need to be followed. And so, you know, if we're being chastised by a senior, then you don't fight back, right? But you accept it. If your mum or dad tells you off, what do? Huh? Bow. Yeah, bow down. Yeah, bow down. Say if Patrice gets told off by her mum and she goes to her dad and says, Dad, mum's picking on me. What's dad going to do? Go and chastise mum? Maybe, but he'll do it in private. But highly unlikely. Does that happen in your house? No? Occasionally. Yeah? Mum tells you off, so you go to dad. Oh, I'm getting picked on. Huh? But you know, we generally have to accept if our mother or father are telling us off. You know, if I went to my dad and complained about my mum, my dad would probably get stuck into me. Anyway, food for thought. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes, sir. I think so. Yes. The answer is yes. Especially when Dhruva Maharaj showed no animosity towards her when he came home.
Could
Varuna Dev
breathe when Dhruva Maharaj was doing the austerity?
Could? Who?
Could Varuna Dev breathe?
Breathe? I don't think anybody could breathe. The demigods went to Lord Brahma and said, we've got to do something about this guy. Because nobody could breathe. Right? That's amazing, huh? He's about your age, actually younger than you. Imagine that. the austerities that Dhruva Maharaj was performing choked up the whole universe. So, this is why Dhruva Maharaj was able to see Lord Vishnu in 6 months and we can't see him. We can't see him after 6 lifetimes. Well, that's what it feels like. Well, how do you feel when your daughter goes, say, to camp and stays away from home for a week, right? And then how do you feel when she comes home? Yeah, that's right. So this is natural. It's natural that parents show affection to their children, isn't it? It's and if she does something silly, right, what do? Get upset. Huh? Natural. It's natural. So he's just a young boy gone off to the forest. I mean, what could happen, and he's away for 6 months. How could you tolerate that? If your daughter, assuming that she's younger than she is now, but even now, if she went off into the forest, right, for 6 months, and you didn't know what... Mother Yashoda couldn't bear the thought of Krishna being hungry. So there's a natural affection that the family will show, even if it's not your child. Say it's a nephew or a niece, you'll still, because of that family connection, familial connection, then there'll be some feelings of concern. And so when they come home, then it's like that feeling of concern is dissipated. So that's a relief. So naturally they're going to feel happy because of their family relation. And they're even more happy because they're glorifying a devotee, and a pure devotee at that. So there's more more rasa, more taste, right? More affection. He'd been insulted. Instead of coming home and wanting to chop off the head of his stepmother, he came back and offered her obeisances. Huh? When you're having a fight with somebody and then they come back and offer you respects, that's really disarming, isn't it? You're angry with somebody and then they come and just think, there's no reaction, no response, they've just forgotten about it. That's very attractive. So, and in families there's fights. Have you noticed? Do you ever fight with your daughter? Yeah. Heavy disagreements, right? Things ever get thrown around? Bodies? Pots and pans? I remember fighting with my father. My father, I have it too, but kind of learned to control a little bit. But my father had a ferocious temper. He could go from, he's faster than a Porsche. He could go from 0 to 100 kilometres an hour in about a fraction of a second. And you would never know it. You know, sometimes I didn't know, what did I do? So, but you know, it's understood there'll be disagreements in the family. Husbands and wives disagree, right? You ever had a disagreement with your wife? Good. At least you're not lying. But it's not taken that seriously. But in those disagreements, it's actually a sign of affection, right? Or if you're getting angry with your children, why do you get angry with your children? Because you have such affection for them, you want to see them the best for them. And then when they do silly things, do you do silly things, Chaitanya? Eh? Yep, he does. Then the parents will get upset. So this is just natural show of affection. Plus the fact he's a devotee. And so that affection shown to a devotee is amplified because of the good qualities of the devotee. Okay, I think we should finish here. Grandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktabrinda ki jai, Dhruva Maharaj ki jai.